Welcome, everybody, to Legends in the Dark, now in Cool Mountain Blueberry flavor. My name is Jay.
And I'm Leslie.
How are you doing today, Leslie?
Oh, I'm excited. Ever since we launched this, I have had people to come up to me like, hey, especially when we did our Fresno one and our New Orleans one, I've had people contact me and be like, dude, you got to listen to the story, or hey, I have something for your listener stories. And the outpour has been like awesome. So I'm really excited to kind of like get into them. But I figured since we were asking for personal stories, I think we should kind of do our own stories as well.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But now you really don't have any stories. You have never had like a ghostly experience or anything, right?
I've never really had, no. I mean, there was the one time when, like, I think we mentioned in another show that with the two of us went to a ghost hunt event thing, and it was spooky, but I never didn't experience anything while we were there, so I still am like kind of like at zero zero supernatural.
Now I always took it
in my life,
well, and I always took it as like you believed in this stuff, right? Are you more skeptic side?
I'm not really a skeptic at all. It's, and that's the funny part. It's like I'm very open-minded with it, and yet I've never experienced anything.
See, I think I'm a little bit opposite. I think I'm more skeptic with the leaning of belief. Like I feel like I don't say every single video is real or picture is real, but I kind of did that. I do that. Ooh, this is interesting. Until someone says, well, this is how it can't be. It's like, oh, okay, but it was really interesting.
Yeah, you know? I mean, a story could be interesting and not be true.
Honestly, though, a lot of people don't like talking about it. Like, I felt awful because I think I've mentioned this before. Can't remember if I did on pod or not. I totally was talking about my experiences at work because I work in a haunted place. And this poor girl, she just asked me, oh, Leslie, do you think this place is haunted? And I went in a 30-minute spiel about all the experiences I knew about in that particular place. And she finally looked at me. She said, I don't like scary stuff. And I felt awful. And then I had to leave her, and the whole floor was empty. And she's like, I can't believe you left me after telling me all that. And I felt so awful. And I just realized that.
That's amazing.
No, it's awful. I felt so bad because not many people really like hearing about it, and not many people can understand it. You know what I mean? They'll, like my husband, he's more skeptic than anything.
And he's a man of science.
Yeah, you know what scares him more is we can watch those like Nuke's top five videos, which awesome, right? The five haunted places or the five poltergeists, and he's like, whatever, yeah, whatever. And then all of a sudden he'll see like top five moments when people were living in your basement or attic or something, and he's like, no, we can't watch that, no. Hell no.
Because that's the kind of stuff that could actually, like, I mean, not to say that any of the other stuff couldn't happen, but those could, as you say, like, there are crazy people out there and they do crazy things.
It's when you can explain it, that's when you get freaked out. It's like, oh my gosh, I hear steps in the attic. Me, my husband always has to say, it's not ghosts. And then I said, well, then is there someone up there? And he's like, oh shit, that's even more scarier. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he will kind of bend part to the ghost because he doesn't want the the other side. Where I'm bending to the other side, where I'd rather have someone up living up there than the ghost.
It's true.
But yeah, so tonight, I think we're just sharing our own personal stories and our listener stories.
And for me, mostly listener stories.
I know. Someday you might have an experience.
Someday. Someday.
Is that a song? Someday. Things are gonna get better. Maybe. I don't know. I'm tone deaf.
You tone deaf?
Yeah.
That's how tone deaf she is.
I know, now I feel embarrassed.
You've never heard this woman sing karaoke before.
You've never heard me sing karaoke. I'm the one who just usually sit there and claps when you guys go in karaoke. if you ever see a group of people karaoke and there's that one lone person who just claps and like high fives whenever someone comes on, that's the person who is there against their will who never wants a karaoke.
Hey, people were buying you drinks. It's okay.
I know. That's the only time I ever do it is when I drink.
It's true. I think that's pretty much the only time anybody ever really does it.
Okay, so do you want to go first?
I don't know. I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Okay, well, I can tell a personal story. So I'll tell a first personal story. I can't say where I work. It has a basement. And in the basement, there's a lot of files. And one day, me and a coworker, my job was to take files down and file them away. And then people would request files and I would have to pull them. So one day we went down there and we were putting files away. And so how the basement works is there's a long hallway to the elevators. And since it's our archives, I basically have to scan in. And we scan in, go through the long hallway. There's double doors. You walk in and it's all files. So these double doors that swing inward, you know, when you're walking into the room.
Yeah.
It swings inward. It's the only exit, entrance and exit. So one day we go down there and we have a cart full of files and we go in and there's a little desk with a phone. So that way in case you have to call another place. And so there was a desk with a chair and I think it was me who sat in the chair. And we were organizing the files, and then we split them up, and we went down. I pushed it under the desk. And then my coworker walked down the first aisle. I walked down, like, the second aisle. And one aisle went a little bit longer, and then I had, like, a pillar. So my aisle, like, was shorter. But from where I was standing, I could look through the file cases and see her on the other side. I'm sitting there putting the files away. I'm pulling some others. I see her doing the same thing. We're on ladders because these are very tall bookshelves. So we're doing this and don't hear anything. It's very quiet. And we get down and we walk to back to, like, at the same time, like I said, hey, I'm all done. Are you done? And she's like, yeah. So we basically are walking down this aisle at the same time. And since mine was shorter, I got there first. And she walks down and I stood there looking at the double doors and I was like, okay. And she doesn't see that I'm stopped and she's like, what's wrong? And because she comes out, she sees me just standing there. And I point to the doors and I said, that's weird. And the chair is in front of the double doors, like blocking our exit. And this is the same chair that I rolled under the desk. And now, like, she's like, oh, okay, you know what? No, what happened is it just rolled backwards and hit the door. And I'm sitting there like, no, I pushed that chair under the desk. It would have to roll out of the desk. And then, so it would have to come out and then make, like, a 90-degree turn to go against this door. And I said, there's no way.
Physics makes that seem impossible.
Oh my God, yeah. So, like, it was like one of those things where I just looked at her and I'm like, well, they said the basement was haunted. So I got the chair, I put it back under the desk, and she's still like, no, it was just this and this. And I'm like, okay, let's get the hell out of here then. But I don't like going down there alone. And that was a couple years ago. And the position that usually did that, I'm still in, but now we have helpers. So we have a little bit more people. I will request files, but what we call the mail team will basically go down now. And it's a lot of times it's like the new people who come in or interns, and they'll go to the files. And I always, like, I don't want to tell them that I think the basement's haunted, but I ever heard so many stories. So, like, I've asked people, I said, hey, like, especially when they're leaving, I said, so have you ever experienced anything? And one girl said she went downstairs and she, I'm not going to use her name, but she said she went downstairs. And she was standing there, and she was putting the files away, and she kept feeling like someone playing with her hair. Like, she howled. I know you listeners at home can't see me, but what it is like, if you ever have long hair above your ears, almost like when you think that you caught it on something, like sometimes my hair, because it's how low it is, it will get caught in my lips, or, like, you know, like, on in my makeup, and you pull it away. Like, you kind of do this. Pull the hair away from your face.
Do the hair flip.
Yeah, you do the almost like the hair flip. And so she was just kind of like, at first she thought, oh, I got my hair caught on a file or in a beret or something. And then she realized, I'm not wearing anything and I'm not near the files. And then she realized it feels like someone was doing this, like someone taking a piece of hair and just kind of like moving.
Pretty.
Yes. Pretty. Yeah, almost like stroking her. And so she stood there and she was like, and she didn't freak out or anything. She was all like, this is what's so funny though. So she didn't freak out. She was just like, okay, whatever. And then her partner, I shouldn't be mean, but like, I guess he was like this big strapping guy. Like he was 6'1" and he was really nice. But I guess like one time they went down there together and she went outside of the doors for some reason. I think she like forgot the files or something. She went back upstairs and he was filing and he heard children's laughter, like a little girl's laughter. And how this basement files works is there's like one main room and then there's a little offset room with more files. And so he heard it in, I guess, this offset room, and he was just like, I'm not going back there. And so he went outside the doors, and he waited for her to come back. And so, like, she was like, what's wrong? And says, I don't want to go back in there. And they both went, and he went to go down there by himself. But I always think of that Will Ferrell, like, it's nothing like, it's nothing like the sound of children's laughter, unless it's 3 a.m., and you don't have any children. It's like, because this building... its children would not be there.
That's true.
And then, okay, hold on. I wrote some of them down because I wanted to remember. So the last story about it is, oh, this one. Okay, this one freaks me out. So there was another woman, and she went down to do the files. And she was standing there, and she turned. So she was looking at the files, and she turned towards the door. And at the end of the aisle, so... there, some of the aisles have the pillars, so it's one way in and one way out. And she turned towards the exit and at the end of the aisle, and she saw this black figure standing there, like a black shadow standing there. And she was holding on to this file, and she didn't, like, she said, I heard that she said she couldn't, like, she just couldn't say breathe, she couldn't say anything, she couldn't scream, she couldn't do anything. She just sat there watching this thing. And then the doors, the double doors open, and the mail team actually came in. There was another team that came in to do more file backs, and it just disappeared. It just, like, vanished. And when they turned around, so the guy who told me, they turned around, and the woman was just white, sheet white. And they're like, are you okay? Says, I just saw something, and I have no idea what it was. And so after that, like, a lot of people, they don't like going down to the basement.
That's, yeah, I wouldn't want to go down to the basement either. I typically... I don't think I'd want to go down to any basement, honestly, haunted or no, but definitely not a haunted basement.
You know what's funny, too, is one of those things where it doesn't feel creepy. It doesn't have, like, a light flickering or anything like that. It's a very, it's a building with fluorescent lights, you know, a very lit room. The files aren't even creepy. Like, they're all modern files and stuff like that. So it's not like you're sitting here in, like, some 1920s, antique file and system.
You hear a pipe dripping in the background.
Yeah. Well, like, if you ever went to, like, my colleges, like, you know, the college library, when you go into the stacks and you go in, like, the basement, it's like something out of Ghostbusters where you're just okay, well, there's a card
library
reader.
Cards are flying out of nowhere.
Yeah, so, like, no, this basement, it doesn't have that, like, and I think that's what's almost a little bit scarier is when you go somewhere and you're like, wow, this thing is, like, it's all chrome and modern and, ooh, everything's shiny. And then, like, you see something, you're like, what the hell is that?
Like telling the ghost, like, you're in the wrong place. You're supposed to be in some old basement somewhere. Know, with a bunch of old crap.
Well, can it haunt, like, the other part of the basement with all the broken stuff?
What are you going to do when they go digital? They're going to digitize all this stuff one of these days.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Like, it's just, it's creepy, though. It didn't scare me, though. I mean, it was unnerving when it happened, but it didn't scare me. But I'll be honest, I've only seen one shadow man and a shadow. And it's only, it was more comforting when I heard the story about the shadow at the end. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
I probably would have had a similar reaction, except there probably would have been more cursing involved.
You'd have been like, okay, we're out of here, get the car. But we have 20 more files. I don't care, let's go.
Like, the work day is over, I'm done, I'm going home now.
Yeah, that's, but honestly.
Like Jason, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Like, I don't care. I don't care.
So I felt bad. So that was the those were the stories I told my coworker, and then I left her alone on the floor that was basically all like empty, and she just looked at me. She's like, "I can't believe you did that." I felt so awful.
I'd be like, "I can't believe I never thought of this before."
Shut up. Okay, so okay, your turn. What listener story do you have?
Okay, so as we've said before, I don't have any personal stories to fall back on here. So we're going to listener stories that I have from our listeners, as the title suggests. So this one is from Becca. Hello, Becca. So this one is about the Martha Washington Inn, and this is in Abingdon, Virginia.
Okay.
So this was built in 1832 by a General Francis Preston for himself, his wife, and his 9 children. Okay, so in 1858, it was sold to the founders of the Martha Washington College, which transformed that the estate into a upscale women's university. During the Civil War, it also served as a makeshift hospital and a training ground for a group of Confederate soldiers who were also known as the Washington Mountain Rifles. In early 1900s, due to a combination of an outbreak of typhoid fever and the Great Depression that was going on at the same time, forced the school to close in 1932, and it was reopened in 1935 as the Martha Washington Inn. And it's housed some, various important persons, such as Eleanor Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Jimmy Carter, Elizabeth Taylor, and so on and so forth. There have been 3 prominent supernatural happenings at this location. One of the ghosts, one of the stories is about a woman named Beth, who was among the students at the college during the Civil War. She was in charge of caring for wounded soldiers. She fell in love with a Yankee officer named Captain John Stoves, who was gravely injured in battle. So that's why he was being tended to by Beth. During the time that Captain Stoves was recuperating, Beth tended to play violin for him to, soothe his weary soul and help him rest. And on his deathbed, she promised him one last song, but unfortunately, before she got the chance to actually play that last song, he passed.
Oh.
So, in room 217, which was the room that she cared for Captain Stoves in, it is said that you can still hear sweet violin music, and sometimes even see Beth occasionally.
Oh, wow. Would you want to stay there?
No, I wouldn't want to stay there.
I would totally want to stay there.
It would be interesting for, the first time, and then I'd be like, okay, if you're not going to leave, then I'm going to.
Okay, so what else does she say?
Okay, so another one here for the Martha Washington Inn is a young Confederate soldier who was in charge, who was put in charge of taking important documents about camp locations of the Union soldiers to Robert E. Lee himself. He also had a girlfriend who happened to go to school at the college. He tried to see her one last time to say goodbye before he went on this dangerous mission. There is a series of subterranean cave systems underneath Abingdon that he tried to use to sneak into the college without being caught. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out for him because he was still caught by Union officers and shot to death right in front of his sweetheart.
Oh, wow, these stories are depressing.
Now, the inn's floors have multiple times been redone and recarpeted. However, the blood stain that he left continues to appear occasionally on the floor. And last but not least, on for this particular listener story, there is a ghost of a wounded soldier who can be seen hobbling through the long hallways, aided by a crutch, who leaves a trail of mud in his wake. There's a lot of messy ghosts in this inn.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like, we got a blood stain and a trail of mud. It's a very inconsiderate ghost, I think.
Of course, I feel like when people see the stuff, that could be explained, like, oh, I'm sure someone just tracked the mud in. It's like, it's summer and there's not a drop of mud outside at all. That's what's more creepy. That's like one of those things where, like, when it happens during the day, mm-hmm. and it's like, what?
It's like, it's like it's 102 degrees outside. Exactly. There is no mud. I've got two more listener stories to go through. I don't know. Do you want to do another one?
Yeah, take turns? I could. Yeah, take turns.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and do another one.
Right. Okay, so this one's actually for my mom because she listens to the story. Hi, Mom. And I feel bad because her friend gave me, like, her friend told me a really sweet story, and I forgot to ask her if it was okay. And so I don't want to tell her friend's story. So I got my mom's story was one that, because she was born in a haunted hotel or a haunted house in Margate, England. So she has always been, like, really, I even remember when I was younger, my parents have always kind of been into this stuff. In the sense of, like, always curious about it. So I remember when I started getting older and they would have friends over or we would be somewhere and always went to ghost stories. This was my favorite. So my mom is in her early 20s and she is pregnant with me. And she was living in Sacramento with my dad and he would get up early to go to the academy. And he would leave like 6 a.m., 7 a.m., really early. And one morning, my mom, like, hears the door, like, hears, like, the bedroom door open. And she thinks it's my dad. Mm-hmm. And she calls out for him, like, Mike? And like, there's no sound. So she kind of, like, rolls over. But she turns over, and she sees a man dressed as a sailor standing in the doorway. And she was, like, she panicked. Now, she doesn't panic, but she gets, like nervous, like, who are you? And the man just looks at her, walks past the bed through the closet, and she was like, oh, it kind of spooked her and stuff. And, you know, and she's just kind of like, okay, that was really weird. And she gets up and makes a cup of tea, and she's just like, okay, that's weird. Tells my dad. I forgot what my dad said. But then the next morning happens again. She hears the bedroom door open and she looks over. Man standing there, same man standing there in the Navy uniform, stares at her, and then walks into the closet. So the third morning that this happens, I don't know if they're consecutive or if this was like over time, but the third time it happens, my mom, I think she was just tired. It was one of those things where she said, I was tired, I was scared, and she just looked at this thing and she just said, get the F out. Mm-hmm. And this guy, I guess the spirit nodded and then just went through the apartment, and she never saw it again. Like, it turned around and went through the apartment and she never saw it again.
Like, it needed permission first. It's like, I can't leave until somebody tells me to.
Oh god. So my mom was convinced. So then, you know, I was born and she was convinced that I was going to marry a sailor, which I was all like, then that would have been a ghost. That would have been a premonition, which would have been kind of cool. But yeah, it was. But she had so many stories. My grandmother too, I think, had a lot of stories. I remember she telling me a story. My grandmother telling me a story about the house in Margate. I want to say it was like a bed and breakfast, and something with the stairs. I have to ask my mom, but it was something with the stairs used to creak all night. Like, you, it just sounded like people coming up and down, up and down, up and down. And if you were trying to go down and you hear the stairs behind you, something would push you down the stairs. It was, and I don't know too much about it, but yeah, that was the house my mom was born in.
It's a mean ghost.
Yeah, that was a mean ghost. But
he's pushing people down the stairs. Like, what are you so angry for?
Oh, man.
It's like, because you're a ghost.
But yeah, so my mom has a lot more stories. I keep having to tell her to tell me more of them.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, creepy. I would like... Yeah, I'd have that same reaction. Like, you wake up and it's just some person, like, just standing in the thing, and he just walks through a wall.
Well, it was, if I remember correctly.
He's trapped in the closet.
If I remember correctly, my mom was pregnant with me, of course. I don't think her apartment had air conditioner. And I think this was, or a heater. It was either, because I was born in May, so it had to be December or January. Like, it was about, like, maybe I want to say I was like 5 months, but like it was one of those things where my mom was just like, she just had no f's to give, and she was like get the hell out,
like, just get out of here.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my mom's story.
That was a good one.
Okay, what's so the next one?
My next story is from a listener named Shauna. Okay. Hello, Shauna. She tells me about a location called Wolf Manor. This is very close to home for us because this is in Clovis, California.
Yeah, I don't think that's around anymore. I think they tore it down.
It was demolished finally in 2014. I actually have the date here. I think it was...
I'm sorry. Yeah, why don't you read it?
We're skipping to the end. But anyways, so Wolf Manor, also known as Clovis Avenue Sanitarium, was built as a private residence in 1922 for a young tycoon named Anthony Andriotti, I believe. Okay. Unfortunately, the high cost of the building's upkeep forced Andriotti into bankruptcy, which led to an alcohol-related death in 1929 at the age of 36. So, very sad for Andriotti. But, moving on. The manor was vacant during the Great Depression until it was reopened in 1935 as the Hazelwood Sanitarium, which housed patients dying from tuberculosis. Very cheery place. Also, it was purchased by the Telford family in 1942, became the Clovis Avenue Sanitarium that we all know and love for the mentally and physically ill. Mostly housed people with mental illnesses who had been shunned by society. You know, like back then, pretty much any mental illness was worthy of being shunned by society. Mm-hmm. A lot of these were people dropped off by their families who had schizophrenia, dementia, things like that. People would drop them off, never visited again. They just kind of left them there for forever.
So sad.
See, in the 1950s, 10,000 square foot wing was added, along with which included 18 rooms, which housed their newest residents, which were the elderly. Rooms were packed heavily. They had, like, each room had about 10 beds. One nurse could have up to almost 22 patients to deal with. Many suffered behind closed doors as the conditions rapidly declined over the years. Emergency workers actually dreaded answering calls from the residents because usually if there was a call, that meant somebody had died.
Oh, man.
When it was busy, the Clovis staff would store corpses in the cool basement until it could be removed.
Okay, so see, again with the basements.
Mm-hmm. Basements are always bad. Locals told tales of the steady stream of bodies that were always being carried out from the building. So people were just dying left and right. It was like dropping like flies. Finally, the facility was closed in 1992. Since then, trespassers had been either scared off by police because there was no trespassing or by unnatural events. Clovis PD were called frequently to the grounds for 911 calls that were made from inside the building, which was a bit of a mystery considering that the building no longer had electricity or a working phone line.
Oh my God.
So nobody knew who was calling the 911 operators because they only heard dead air on the call. And not a pun or anything, dead air.
Oh my God. Here's the thing. I wasn't even thinking about puns because I'm literally thinking about, like, that would be the creepiest call if I was, like, a cop and I go run up there and I'm thinking, oh, someone must have bought it. And you go there and it's just boarded up. No one's in there. It's like, it's not one of these things where I'm just going to have a phone and plug it in somewhere. There's, like, no electricity going to it.
Exactly.
Like.
Yeah, there's nothing. It's just, the building's dead, basically. There's nothing there. In 97, a man named Todd Wolf bought the house because he wanted to make a Halloween-themed attraction. It's creepy house, a sanitarium, seems like a perfect idea, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't all fun and games for him because apparently there were frequent things that happened to the employees that were working on this site. Wolf himself didn't believe in ghosts, but an experience with a shadowy figure in quote-unquote Mary's room changed him and to his philosophy for good. Employees had seen and been physically grabbed by unseen forces. And to this day, again, like we said earlier, the building was demolished finally on October 21st of 2014. Some residents had, up till that point, hung rosary beads on the outside fence in an attempt to ward off the dark spirits.
Oh, wow. So I didn't know that. That is crazy.
So that is Wolf Manor.
Thank you, Shauna.
Thank you, Shauna.
That was cool. I, you know, sometimes I forget about the stories down here because I came from Sacramento, so, or near Sacramento. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, that's a good one. That's, you forget, you hear sanatoriums and you think of like, well, I actually think Wolf Manor was on Ghost Hunters, right?
Probably. Yeah, I'd heard about that one before. Yeah, you always forget there's like a lot of this, like a lot of old history in for Fresno, because Fresno's been around for what, since the 1800s or something? Mm. Maybe not that long. I don't remember exactly. I'm terrible with history.
Well, okay.
Like what, Fresno's only been around since the 1940s or 50s? Hey, we're not that old. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I have a fun story if you want to hear a fun story, and then I don't know if you have another one or if you just want me to be the last one.
Well, I can do my last one here really quick because it's really short.
Okay, you do yours, yeah, and we'll end on a good note.
Okay, so my last listener story is from Rich. Hello, Rich.
Hey, Rich.
He's talking about his experiences with Crawford Manor. This is also in, it's in Fresno, California also. This one is, I believe, for anybody who is in the area, this building was located on Palm Avenue.
Before you read that, I will have to say the best thing about Fresno is, because I know I hashtag them and stuff for the Bendo company.
Hashtag Fresno.
It's the funniest thing. Fresno's the only city I've ever been in that when I'm watching a movie, I think it was Captain America, when they said, I'm from Fresno, that the whole theater erupted in claps.
Right.
So anyways. I like that Fresno's kind of coming out and telling us more of their stories.
Right. Fresno is awesome. So Crawford Manor. So this was like, again, located on at Palm Avenue in Fresno. This was built in the 1920s. The original owners passed away, and it's since been abandoned. It's been abandoned for a long time. I don't even know. I don't think anybody's even lived there in my lifetime, to be honest. There have been claims of satanic rituals that were performed on the premises, as well as pentagrams being pretty much throughout the building. There were rumors that there was like a secret entrance into the building through, if I remember correctly, floor of the garage or underneath the garage or something along those. There was a secret entrance somewhere. He says he proved that wrong because he was on the premises and didn't find any secret entrances.
Ah, okay.
So some of the things that he has personally witnessed while he was there was a little girl, which if I'm not mistaken, you see the little girl in the windows.
I was a little ghost girl.
I know. Kids are creepy, that's why. As well as a man in all black with red eyes.
Oh, man. And he's seen those?
These are things that he says that he has seen personally when he has visited the building.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of other people that have visited the building, too. So, yeah, I don't know. Everybody might have a different story. You know how ghost haunted houses tend to be. Like, everybody sees something a little bit different each time. Yeah. Another interesting fact that he noticed on the site is even on a windy day, when you're in the vicinity of the house, you cannot feel the wind.
Really?
Like, it's dead. Air is dead. There's no birds nearby that come nearby. It's just silence.
That's creepy. That's one of those things where, okay, well, that's another story, but it's one of those things where that's when you know S is real.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, exactly. Like if you can't hear even like a cricket chirping nearby, you know you shouldn't be there.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It's like that thing where it's like, you know, if they're cold, if you're cold, they must be cold, let them in kind of deal. It's like, well, if they're not there, then you shouldn't be there. So yeah, get the hell out.
Someone told me once that if you really ever kind of and I just went to a couple cemeteries, but like if you go to a cemetery, it's creepy because if you really kind of listen, there's no sounds of bugs. And I'm like, I never really thought about it, but like the last couple times I've been to a cemetery, I can't remember if I've ever heard birds or bugs or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of, I mean, I never really noticed either because I mean, I've only been to a cemetery a few times for funerals, but yeah, I don't know if I've ever really paid enough attention to it to notice, but that'd be an interesting thing to check, you know, if I ever find myself at one of the cemeteries that I have relatives buried at or something, visiting them, see if there's anything, any signs of life nearby. Aside from my own, obviously. But anyways, that is Crawford Manor. So like I said, that's a pretty sparse one, but still very interesting. So thank you, Becca. Thank you, Shauna. And thank you, Rich.
Yes,
your stories are very important to us, and we hope that you all continue to contribute to the stories so we can do another listener story episode soon.
Yeah, I would love to make this a weekly thing, so that way you have a little bit more content. You know,
we only do like one show a week, right?
Well, yeah, but what happens if we daily dose? No, not a daily dose. That wouldn't...
Double down?
Okay, double down.
However you want to say it. So now you're getting overly ambitious on me, Leslie. That's dangerous thinking.
Okay, so here's a fun, lighthearted one, and it's my family. And I've always... So I scour ghost stories. I love reading them online. Like, my favorite thing was, like, when I used to work at Gottschalk's. So I used to work in the China department, and sometimes it was so slow. So my favorite thing to do was... And this is before, you know, iPhones and iPads and stuff... I would have to print out all these ghost stories from online, and I would go to work, and I would just sit there and like secretly read these ghost stories, like in the back or like under the cash register. So like I would be sitting there looking like I'm doing like reports, and when I'm like really reading like personal stories. So one of the reasons why I would scour them was because one family vacation, we went down to LA, and it was really rainy, and I remember my parents used to love going to different spots. Like, we would go to Griffith Park, we would go to, just to see where places were filmed. So we would go into the Malibu Mountains to see where, like, MASH was filmed, and we would go to... See, you're not tone deaf.
Nope, I am not. I'm very good.
And you're so modest.
Right.
Okay. So one year we went, and I remember we went to Greystone Manor, and it's this beautiful, like, I think it's like a Tudor mansion, and it's on this grounds, and it's actually a park. So they filmed tons there. They filmed Ghostbusters there. They filmed...
What part of Ghostbusters did they film that part?
I think it's the second part. It's so fast. Okay, so I think it's the second part. I can't remember if it's Ghostbusters 1 or 2, but they're going to go see the mayor. And there's this one part, because they were put into basically Bellevue.
Oh, when they were put in the crazy house?
Yeah, and the mayor's like, you better go get them. So basically, they come up to the, I'm doing air quotes, mayor's mansion. And they get out of the car, and there's like the bellman. And he's like, hey, man, I love you guys. I love you guys.
Well, oh, right.
That section right there, when they open the door, that's Greystone Manor.
Oh, okay. That's cool that I know exactly which part you're talking about.
Is it the first or the second one?
I think that's the... I think it's the second one, actually.
I want to say it's the second
one. Yeah, because he didn't put him in the sand. He didn't put him in the crazy house in the first one.
No, and I always remember, I think this... I always like...
Because the first one had what's his name? Walter Peck was their nemesis or whatever. And then the second one was that balding guy. I forget what his name is, but... Yeah.
Just remember because the mayor was really upset. He says, you know, I talked to... Was it Mayor?
He's like, I talked to something. It's like, and he's LaGuardia? Been dead for, and he's yeah. been, and, oh yeah, and Bella LaGuardia or something. It's like, he's been dead for 50 years or something. I forget. I don't know what the name is, but God, I love Ghostbusters.
I know. But so it has, yeah, I think that was the one. And then the one, like, I love it where it's a part. It's like, there's someone down the dock saying the Titanic just pulled in.
It's like, well, better late than never.
I know, I love
that. The brief moment of Cheech Marin.
Yeah, so that they have that part. There was, in the 90s, there was a music video, and I can't remember the song, the music, but there's this music video where all it is Robert Downey Jr. standing in a room, and he's, like, lip-singing the song, and he's walking, like, towards the camera, and you see he's in this, like, beautiful, like, room with this tile floor and stuff. That's Greystone Manor.
Oh.
So they would film stuff here, and it's reported to be haunted. So maybe I'll do Greystone Manor later down. But so here's the funny story. So my family went to Greystone Manor, and it's locked up tight because you can't go into the house, but you can have picnics. You can have, like, it's just beautiful grounds, and it's in the middle of Beverly Hills. It's really pretty. Well, this day it was really rainy, so there was, like, no one there. But there was trucks there. So my dad's like, he parked, like, off to the side. And he and my mom had like a little lunch, and this is before it started raining, and we had a little lunch, and then it started raining, and we went under because we wanted to see the house closer, so we went under the part where it was in Ghostbusters, where it was like a little portico, yeah,
something.
So we were like looking in the doors, and my dad looks down and says, "It's open." And so we're like, "Oh, this is awesome." So my dad and mom are like, "Let's go in and look." So we go in and look. Well, the reason why it was open, if you go to the front of the house, there was construction working on it because they were about to do some filming. We don't know what they were filming, but it was, you could tell they were setting up like a set. Like you could see it was the contractors. So we heard them, but we're like, "Oh, this place is so big. They'll stay at the front of the house and we'll go up the back way." So we went through like this kitchen and we went upstairs and we went down this long hallway, and I forget the history of it, but the hallway looked like little apartments, like little almost hospital rooms, and I forget what like it was used before the land was donated, but we were walking through here and like my mom and dad would like go in a room and we would go in a room and we're like looking out at the grounds, and it was so fun. Well, then I can't remember if it was me or my brother, we went on the balcony, not the balcony, but we went into the main hallway. So they had this huge main hallway and you can look down to the first floor over this balcony. Well, as my brother or my dad, it was someone who was behind me, was walking, they like just landed on just that squeakiest board ever. And it just like, it just rang out. So you hear like, knock, 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 you hear men, blah, 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 and you hear, and then all the guys, all the talking downstairs stopped. And my dad looks at us and he's like, "Shh." Like he puts this in and he's like, "Shh, go back." Like he's like, "Go back down the hallway." And so we're like, so, but now since it's so quiet, we're walking down the hallway and all you hear is our steps. You're like, and so like we finally, my dad's like, "We gotta go." So we go down the stairs through the kitchen and we go through out the back door again. And my dad's like, "Just get to the car." So we get in the car and my dad like kind of is like walking around, kind of like making sure like no one's coming out following us. And then he gets in the car and we like just get out of there. And I still remember to this day, my dad was all like, "Yep, well, there was some ghost stories for some people."
But you were the ghost.
I know. So I feel awful because, so I scour the online. So whenever there's like ghost stories about Greystone Manor, I'm always looking for, yeah, my dad or my brother used to work in construction and they were there one night and they heard during the rainstorm.
By the power of Greystone, I have the power. He-Man. Good story though.
I just thought it's hilarious. It's my favorite ghost non-ghost story.
It's a ghosty non-ghost story.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like how many times have you done something and then if you were in a different context, it totally would sound like you're haunting the place. You know what I mean? Like it's like when
I can see me haunting a place.
I don't know if I would haunt a place.
I always tell people like when I pass away, I want to become a poltergeist. Not for like ever, but like, you know, if I could say like, you know, maybe a year or so, just kind of just hang around and freak some old lady out or something.
Well, I was just like, before we started tonight, I was totally watching like different videos, like, because, you know, I love that new top five videos, like I've said before. And I watched the one, I don't know if it was on his or a different one, but the top five like attraction ones. And I love the one for Disneyland. And people are like, "Wow, can you believe Disneyland might be haunted?" It's like, dude, you know why people like want their ashes spread there, and like Disney employees have to be like, "No, you can't do that." Like they stop people, but like, "Please don't do that."
I wanted to dump my ashes on Pirates of the Caribbean.
I think that's actually where the most people find.
Well, I mean, there's already a lot of ghosts and skeletons in that place. On the Haunted Mansion, that'd be a good one to do too.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
That like I can't tell the difference between the real ghosts and the ones that from the imagination team. Damn those Disney Imagineers!
I want to say, wasn't there like
they're getting better and better all the time.
I want to say, wasn't there a real skull in?
Yes, there's a real human skull in the Pirates of the Caribbean. I think it's the king that's sitting in the bed.
Yeah.
And that's an actual human skull. And I'm like,
that's creepy.
I wonder where they got that real human skull from.
Yeah. And then like Haunted Mansion was actually supposed to be, I think, like a walkthrough. Like it wasn't supposed to.
Well, it's I'm trying to remember because most of it is a walk. Well, I mean, the entrance is a walk through. I remember because like the last time I was there probably was like, God, I don't even remember. It was like 2009 maybe or something. And yeah, I remember like you have the front entrance, and you know that they do the thing when you get in the elevator, and the elevator, the pictures in the elevator stretch, and it's all weird looking and stuff. And then the rest of it, if I remember, like you just get into little cars and they just kind of like go around the, you know, the banquet hall and stuff like that.
I feel like you go through at least a couple hallways though.
Yeah.
And then, it's been so long since I've
gone
there.
It's such a slow freaking ride.
But, I love that ride. I remember loving that ride.
It's fun, especially if you do it in like around Christmas time or Halloween and they do the Nightmare Before Christmas version of it. I was like, yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. Okay, so...
So I've done what I've came here to do, and I think you have also.
You mean the pod? I was thinking the
story.
Disneyland. Well, no, because I was thinking about if there was any other stories I know about Disneyland. There's a lot, but yeah, those are my stories, and those are some good listener stories.
There's a very good listener stories, and we really appreciate anybody who wants to share more stories. And you know, always just keep in mind that you know. We're not here to, you know, riff on anybody's stories or their
experiences
or their even or anything
or
like that.
Even if you have a legend in your town, maybe you haven't experienced it, but maybe you're like, hey, there's this haunted house in my town. Right. Or
let us know. We love hearing about it. And as far as we're concerned, if it happened, if you say it happened to you, then hey, probably did, right?
You know what? Honestly. I tell my stories and people are all like, okay, Leslie, yeah, okay. And it's like, what? It's like, I don't understand why...
like sheep squatch.
Oh my gosh, yeah. But it's like one of those things where it's like, I don't understand why people... I understand, like, if you're scared of them, okay, I won't tell the stories. But then I just love telling these stories and there's not that many people you can tell.
Yeah, people get nervous about it. But we're here to say just don't be. Don't feel any kind of way about it. We're all here to have fun.
And you know who, honestly, you know who's the best? I think it's just all these podcasts that are really respectful of people. And that's what I want to be. I want to make sure everyone knows that you're right. We're not going to riff on them. We're not going to, you know, think they're liars or crazy or something. It really happens. I've had so many experiences that I can't even tell you.
And I haven't, but, you know, I am, my purpose here is to convey your experiences to everybody else.
Honestly, Jay, one of the reasons I really enjoy telling you stories and you telling me stories is because you're more like a soundboard. And you come with ghost hunts with me.
That's true. Well, one time anyways.
Okay, well, if you have your own stories and you want us to share them on maybe another special episode,
our email is
podcastlegends@gmail.com. So that's podcastlegends@gmail.com.
And don't forget to tune in to our episodes on the many mediums that are getting too many for me to even count anymore. So here's Blueberry,
Spotify,
iTunes, Google Store under the free podcast app, right? And
Stitcher. And TuneIn.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about TuneIn. Did I ever update the Facebook page with the TuneIn?
I don't know.
I don't think I did. Well, there you go. It's TuneIn. So tune in to TuneIn.
And, let us know. So, I guess...
Yes.
I don't know how would we end this one. Usually we say...
Don't be afraid of anything that anybody else has experienced may not be fictitious.
I don't know if that works.
I'm going to redo that. Don't be too scared of anything that anybody else has experienced on this show today, because it may, in fact, not be. You know what? Good night, everybody. My normal closing doesn't work in this scenario.
So how about we end it with, don't be afraid of what anyone else has told you. Ugh, crap. You're right. It really does.
It's hard to do it when we're not talking about our own stuff.
Okay. Hey, everyone.
Everybody be very, very fearful of anything that anybody else has said about on this show, because it's terrifying and there's a scary, scary world out there full of things that are going to try to hurt you.
I don't think I'm going to use that.
Okay. This is a lot of editing we're probably going to be doing here.
I know. We're at 54 minutes.
Our little shotgun episode got really long.
Okay, so
we'll just do it our normal closing.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of anything that we have discussed on this show today, because it is all, in fact, purely fictional.
Or is it?
Good night, everybody.